We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Happy New Year and welcome back. As promised, we are back for the wild card round, the DFS. OG's back in the building. So again, hope everybody had a good New Year's out there. We're ready to turn the page. And guys, it's playoff time. Always a fun weekend to kick off the playoffs, unfortunately, for you guys. But this slate leaves a lot to be desired. But we're still going to be here giving you our favorite plays. Let me bring in my fellow OGs ringing in the New Year here, Notorious Head Chopper Boys. How we doing, Nodal? Let's start with you. How'd the New Year's go?
Yeah, it went pretty good. Didn't do much. We were home by 10 o'clock or so. Put the kid to bed, and then I think we were asleep by like 12:05. So nothing too exciting on our end, but definitely excited for this playoff slate. I always love this time of year. Not only do we get to sweat every single play, but there's a lot of action this time of year for DFS. You can pretty much get as much action as you want, whether you're playing, you know, head-to-heads, tournaments, whatever. A huge contest around the industry, so it should be a lot of fun, even though these games aren't as appealing as we would like them to be.
And I know golf's kicking off here as well, so you want to plug anything for golf while we're here, Derek?
Yeah, this week only, everything is free for premium, or not for, everything that is normally premium is free for everyone, so be sure to check that out. We have a CVR, we have articles by myself, Justin Van Zuiden, a number of other guys. So a lot of great content there, and it's free for this week only.
There you go. Chop, how's 2019 treating you, brother?
Oh, man, you know, same old stuff another year, man. Just keeps on rolling by. It was okay. New Year's was all right. Same old thing, pretty much. Let the kids pop their fireworks and do their thing, and I pretty much don't get involved with it too much. But, it is what it is, man. It's a fun time of year. I'm glad. I'm like, when New Year's is over, it signifies that college football is pretty much completely over with. So I'm glad it's over with this year, man. That was a long journey we went on with that thing last minute this year. But I'm glad it's over with because it lightens up the workload a little bit. I'm looking forward to kicking back and watching some real football that's very meaningful these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. So we'll start with Wildcard. Before we get to that, one more holiday story. I spent about the last 2 hours taking down decorations, and the wife talked me in this year. We normally have the fake tree. You pull it up from the basement, you plug it in, you're good to go. For some reason, she wanted a real tree, so we did the whole go out to the forest, cut down the tree, put it up. But, man, the worst part is dismantling that thing. You take the ornaments off, you take the lights off, I swear to God, my entire carpet was covered in pine needles from one end to the other end, outside, inside, just an absolute disaster. So I think a one and done for me on the real trees. You guys, real trees, fake trees, what's going on with your houses? Because if you don't use a real tree, I'm telling you right now, don't do it. You guys use any real trees or you guys artificial?
I got a fake tree. We got a fake tree. Yes. We stuff it up in the attic, pull it out after Thanksgiving. My wife assembles it, three easy pieces. The kids decorate it real fast. I would not go back. We've had real trees before, and I would not go back.
Yeah, don't do it. I'm picking pine needles out of everywhere. No, please tell me.
Yeah, I like the idea. Yeah, fake tree for me. I like the idea of a real one, but I don't think I could do it. You know, I had one growing up, a fake or a real tree, which was always fun, but I can't believe you chopped it down yourself. For me, I would just go to the tree lot or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to go out in the forest. So tree lot's too easy. She wanted to make it challenging, clearly, and see what kind of man, test my manhood. So, you know, put on my flannel, grew the beard a little extra long, and went down and hacked some shit down. So that was fun. But taking it down, no fun. But you guys aren't here to talk Christmas trees. We're here to talk football. So let's get started. Four games for us. Obviously, two Saturday, two on Sunday. So we'll give you games from all angles here. Picks, fades, even some betting picks. We'll get into some of that as well, guys. So let's start. Indy at Houston leads us off. 4:35 Eastern. Houston, small favorite, 1.5. The line, the total's gone up to about 49 now. So clearly and easily the highest total on this slate. So, Derek, let's start with you here. The Colts obviously went into Tennessee, got the job done, but it's a Houston team playing well. You know, there's a lot of steam on the Colts here in the betting market. Where do you come out there? And then as far as DFS-wise, I think there's a lot of plays, and this will probably be the most popular game on the slate.
Yeah, definitely the most intriguing. You mentioned the high total. The rest of the games just don't really have any shootout potential, and this is the one that you could see going off to, you know, 30-27, something like that. I think the market is pretty good with a 1.5-point spread. If I had to choose, I'd probably lean toward Indianapolis. I just trust luck a little bit more than I do Deshaun Watson, but I think they're the two best quarterbacks of the slate. If you look at Houston's defense, they were number one against the run in DVOA and 18th against the pass. I don't think this is a very good spot for Marlon Mack, so I do expect luck to air it out quite a bit. Had 39 and 27 fantasy points against Houston in their two meetings this season. So if I can, I'm going to be looking to pay up for him as often as I can. And then you can pair him up with Hilton. You can pair him up with Ebron. Ebron did have a couple big games against Houston earlier this season. He's a big red zone threat. And pretty much the best way to beat Houston has been with tight ends so far this season. And we know about Hilton. You know, he's got such a great track record against Houston throughout his career, especially in Houston. This is indoors. So I definitely think you can do that triple stack. Now on the other side, don't mind Watson. Certainly think he's viable, but I think you can get most of his production through DeAndre Hopkins. He doesn't really have a whole lot of other options to work with. It does sound like Kiki Cutie is going to be back for this one, so not really sure how many snaps he's going to play. Don't know if I want to play Carter or QT, so I'll probably just play Hopkins instead. By far the best wide receiver of the slate, pretty much an autoplay in my eyes. And also like Lamar Miller, running back's a pretty ugly position after Zeke. And I think with Lamar, you can get, you know, 15 carries, 3 or 4 targets. And if you get the touchdown, then you're really in business. So like this game a lot, and it'll probably be my heaviest exposure game, probably like everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not like both sides of this game. You talked about Andrew Luck. You mentioned T.Y. Hilton at home, Chop. This is something that we brought up years and years. And if you look at it, 12 for 199 this year. 9 for 175 and 2 last year in Houston. I mean, you can go all the way back to 2013, 33 fantasy points, 32 fantasy points in 2014. We don't need to go that far back. The point is, this is a matchup and a stadium that this dude loves playing. And not to mention that, Houston been terrible against number one wide receivers and awful against quarterbacks to close the season here. So reasons not to play these guys, Chop.
No reasons. Like you said at the beginning here, man, this is about as ugly of a four-game playoff slate as you're going to find. Like, the defenses are stout, and the offenses, a lot of them aren't jumping off the page. So with this 48 total, you got to take advantage of it. And, you know, next week it'll be totally different. We'll be here with four games, and I can promise you we'll be talking about all the offense when the Rams and the Saints and Chiefs and these guys kick in. But this week it's all about the defense. I got a feeling even winning tournaments is going to take just not airballing any spots in your lineup this week. You don't necessarily have to have, like, the guy who's going to go for 40 or whatever on that week, because I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be about building a lineup that just doesn't have a weak spot in it. And so, I think you take advantage of it. I'm pretty much reiterate what Derek said. Hopkins probably the best on the weekend. I don't mind QT following him up. Miller actually doesn't look terrible. Deshaun, maybe the best quarterback on the slate. On the other side, Hilton. You know, Hilton and Ebron combined for the vast majority of the target share in this offense. So Hilton's exceptional. Ebron's exceptional with the matchup. luck is good. The only other thing I would say that differs from Derek is if Ryan Kelly is healthy and active for this game, I will have some Marlon Mack because I like him a little bit more if that offensive line is fully healthy. I think Mack proved me this year that when his offensive line is healthy, he can run on anybody, and he'll go very, very under-owned with this matchup. So that's the only thing I would differ from Derek.
Yeah, and that's an under-the-radar thing we talk about all the time. Most people aren't looking at offensive lines and things like that. It's all about the skill position players, but I'm with you. That's a big piece of news, and running back is really gross on the slate. I mean, you have two studs, and then you have a lot of question marks here. So I honestly think that's where people will be able to differentiate things. Mack probably not a guy that a lot of people will play, but, you know, betting-wise, Chop, what do you think here? We got Houston minus 1.5, total 48.5, 49, depending – on where you look, any strong plays on either one of those?
Yeah, I just can't see Houston getting bounced in the first round here. So the spread is so tight that it's basically a pick 'em. It's only 1.5. I got to go Houston here. These totals are totally up for grabs on all four of these games. It's really tough to figure those out. But as far as this game right here, I would lean Houston. I just don't think they get bounced in the first round. They're just too good of a team. So I'm going to lean Houston here.
And a lot of people lean in Indy. That seems to be the public direction. 59% of the money on the spread. 70% of the money is on the over in this game right now. So always smart to be different than the public. All right, next game for us. The totals are going to start to go down and down. It's almost like temperatures as we get deeper into the slate. Things get worse. So we go to Saturday Night Chop. We got your Cowboys at home sitting at about -1 against Seattle total. Of 42.5, 43, depending on where you look. So this is an intriguing game. I mean, Seattle, we know, can go on the road and get things done. We've seen them do it in years past. It's a playoff-tested team. Your Cowboys, also a team that have made deep runs in the playoffs here in recent years. So something's got to give here. I think this is the most intriguing game on the slate just as far as watching it from a football fan's perspective. But DFS-wise, Zeke Elliott, yes, is a stud on this slate. Outside of that, there's not a ton here that I'm excited about. How about you, Chop?
No, not super exciting, but that's what we're going to get from these next three games. None of them is going to be exciting. So, I mean, Elliott's the number one running back for me on the slate. I think we're going to get a huge workload here. And so I think I'm going to pay the premium to get that workload. If I'm looking at the game from a spread perspective, again, I don't want to touch the total here because the way Seattle's been playing this year, I could definitely see them really bogging this thing down and making it ugly and, you know, limiting possessions and all that other stuff. So I don't want to touch the total, but Dallas at home, I'll go with the home favorite again here. It's such a low point spread. I'll go with the home favorite again, but Elliott's my favorite running back on the slate. Man, I'm not stoked on the passing game here. I don't mind Dak Prescott because he can run it too. So, but Elliott in that game earlier this year in Seattle where Seattle won, you know, he averaged almost 8 yards a carry on this defense. They just got behind and he couldn't get a full load of carries. I got a feeling that's going to be different this week. Another thing about that original game they played, and, you know, you can't take a lot from it back in like week 3 or 4 or something like that. It was a long time. But they didn't have – Cooper, so it's a different outlook here, but the tight end was the leading receiver in that game. It wasn't Blake Jarwin, but Jarwin's obviously proven these last couple of weeks he's the leading tight end now. So if I'm looking for a tight end that's going to be different than Eric Ebron, who's going to garner the most ownership, I think, and then Zach Ertz, who's the best tight end but with a terrible matchup, I think you could be different with Jarwin here and go, and that could be your pass catching tight end. He looked really good last week. He's been getting a bigger market share. I expect a big game out of him. And on the flip side, Seattle's traveling on the road, tough defense. They want to grind it down. My favorite play on that team is Doug Baldwin, but, you know, that's like – it's just tough, man. A 21-team total in a game where Dallas has a good defense at home and they can control the ball too away and keep it away from Seattle. That's just – it's tough to get excited about anybody on that side.
Yeah, and like we've talked about, this slate, you're going to have to dig and you're going to feel uncomfortable and you got to find guys that maybe you don't like clicking the button. But Seattle, Derek, I'm having a really hard time getting excited about any of these guys. I'm back to Dallas. I agree with Chop. It's Zeke. I mean, he's going to get a ton of touches, 23 touches or more in seven straight games. Seattle struggles against pass-catching running backs, but also think Amari Cooper could be interesting here. 25th in DVOA are the Seahawks against number one wide receivers. So I think that would give you a different path than a lot of people are going to take, but hard to fade Zeke on the slate. So what are you doing with Zeke, the rest of the Cowboys, and Seahawks?
Yeah, I think the two most obvious plays are going to be Zeke and DeAndre Hopkins. And if we're going to play both of them, then we're going to have to find value somewhere. And that's kind of the most challenging part of this slate. I do think you got to play Zeke. I mean, he's going to see 25-plus touches most likely. I'm worried about the overall pace of the game. You guys mentioned Seattle running it a lot. They're fourth in the NFL in run play percentage. Dallas is 10th. So this could be one of those grinded-out games, kick a field goal at the end to win. But if you're going for value, don't mind the Blake Jarwin call, like Chop mentioned. My natural tendency is to fade the guy coming off of the 3-touchdown game, but he did have 7 targets in weeks 14 and 15, so trying to get him involved a little bit more. And if you want to go super off the radar, don't mind looking to Gallup. He's only 3,600 on DraftKings. He's been getting deep targets, and he's had at least 6 in 5 of his last 6 games, so the targets are there, just a matter of whether he connects with Dak or not. But I am a little bit worried about Dak in this one. He historically struggles against zone defense, and he struggled in his 2 career meetings against the Seahawks. So, yeah, I'm not really sure if I want to play Dak. Cooper, I do like that as sort of a leverage play, but I think you still got to play him with Zeke. And then in that case, you're hoping for a shootout, so you probably want to bring it back with somebody from Seattle. And I'm just not really sure if I want to play anybody on this team. Carson's been getting a ton of workload, but don't really love him in this spot. He's kind of expensive. It's kind of hard to fit him with some of the other studs. So I kind of agree with Chop, probably play Baldwin a little bit. And that's just about it for me on Seattle.
All right, betting-wise, it looks like the public's on Seattle here. The spread opened at 2.5. We're down to 1. The total public is on the over. It's gone from 41.5 to 43. Derek, you got to lean on either of those two.
When it comes to the playoffs, I typically trust the coach and the quarterback, and I don't really trust Dak or Dallas's coach. So I'll go Seattle, but I kind of want Dallas to win.
All right, I just brokered a bet here between Chop and Noto right on the pod. You guys slide into those DMs and you figure something out, take the juice out of the equation. Let's move on to Sunday. Totals are going down here, 41.5 here for Chargers and Ravens. Another game I'm looking forward to watching, Derek, but DFS-wise, again, it's another game. I mean, Baltimore's basically been Lamar Jackson or bust, and the Chargers, tough spot here against a very good defense, a team that beat them in their own building. Now they got to go on the road. Some reason they're playing the 1 o'clock game, which makes no sense to me, but very tough spot here for the Chargers. A lot of people's, darling to make it to the Super Bowl. Do they even survive this game here in Baltimore?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I expected to play better than they did in their last meeting where they lost by 12 to Baltimore. But yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, it's hard to get excited about the Chargers offense. Baltimore is number 3 in DVOA against the pass, number 6 in DVOA against the run. Melvin Gordon's a bit banged up. We know Baltimore has some really big physical corners on the outside with Jimmy Smith and company. So if I'm targeting anyone from the Chargers, it's probably going to be Keenan Allen. I think the best way for them to attack this defense is over the middle. We're going to have to wait and see if Hunter Henry ends up playing. It sounds like if he does, he's going to be on a pitch count. So don't know if I want to go there, but he is really cheap. He's one of the ways you can, punt the position and then spend up elsewhere. But I think Keenan Allen's probably going to be my guy from the Chargers. And then on Baltimore, I'm probably just going to play Lamar Jackson. I think on DraftKings, he's probably the safest quarterback option. And then on FanDuel, Luck's a little bit cheaper than Jackson, so I'll probably lean that route. But he just has such a high floor. He's had 16 fantasy points or more in every single start so far this season. And, he's just going to leave it all out there. So when it comes to the running backs, probably give a slight edge to Edwards over Dixon, but not a strong lean one way or the other. And not really sure I want to target any of his pass catchers because I do think they're going to try to keep the ball on the ground and milk the clock as much as they can.
Couple pricing notes. Lamar Jackson is the cheapest of the 8 quarterbacks over on Yahoo. And somehow, on FanDuel DraftKings, he's priced up. But Yahoo, he's cheaper than Foles, Rivers, everybody. So $25 over there really stood out to me. And then you mentioned Hunter Henry. That's a guy I'm willing to roll the dice on. At DraftKings, he's $2,500. So if we get word that he's going to play, even if it's limited, they're going to utilize him in the red zone. And a touchdown is pretty much all you need there in Baltimore. That's the one spot you can kind of pick on this defense. You mentioned it, Derek, with Keenan Allen. I agree there, but I think Hunter Henry could be an intriguing play. Risky, wouldn't use him if you're playing cash games, but tournaments, 2,500 on DraftKings specifically, I really like that play. Chop, thoughts there, Hunter Henry, the betting market here, Ravens and Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, if this was just a middle-of-the-season game where L.A., where the Chargers had to travel cross-country like this and play the early game on a Sunday, I would definitely favor Baltimore. But since it's the playoffs and since there's such a priority on this and they'll get the traveling situated, and I mean, I'm going to lean towards the Chargers here because I just think that ultimately they're a better all-around team, and I think that's going to shine through in this game. So I'm going to lean towards the Chargers to pull the upset. I like the Hunter Henry thing that you mentioned. I think that's huge for this team. Like, he's going to be back this week, and, man, that's just huge for Phillip Rivers. He's got a lot of weapons now. I think they turned this thing – like, it's a good defense for Baltimore, but in the playoffs recently, from what I've seen, good offenses beat good defenses now. It used to be the other way around where good defense beat the offenses, but offenses are so versatile these days. A really good offense beats a really good defense. I think that's what happens in this game. I think the Chargers come out. I like Hunter Henry as a tight end. I like the Keenan Allen call. I like that Keenan Allen play. I think Melvin Gordon gets extremely active out of the backfield catching balls in this game. They're going to do all these little things to the Baltimore defense to try to throw them off, and all these guys are going to catch short passes. I don't think it's a big Mike Williams or Tyrell game. I like all these little check downs to these guys. I think they move the ball that way. So I like Phillip Rivers, man. I think I think he's going to advance in this playoff, and it's going to start this week. So on the flip side, Lamar Jackson, yeah, like you said, he's the cheapest option on Yahoo. That's the guy I have plugged in right now. I like Kenneth Dixon over Gus Edwards, and Dixon is one of my top three or four backs this weekend in general based on price. And Mark Andrews, another tight end. I think ultimately in spots where you have flex this week, maybe you could play a Mark Andrews or a Hunter Henry in your flex along with a Zach Ertz or Ebron or something, because some of these tight ends don't stand out to me. We haven't, you know, outside of Hopkins and T.Y., I haven't seen a wide receiver that I feel good about. And Baltimore, man, I know it's the playoff. I wouldn't touch any of the John Brown, Crabtree, Snead, none of these guys. Lamar Jackson just can't get him the ball in a good spot these days. So I can pass on all these wide receivers and go straight to Mark Andrews.
So, Chop, I got a question for you.
What's up?
You're picking the Chargers here. You're picking offense over defense. Are you telling me defense doesn't matter, Chop?
Oh, man, that's the ultimate. The ultimate. I mean, I'm definitely rooting for the Baltimore to win the Super Bowl so all those guys on Twitter can get it thrown back at them. But in this game, man, I just think the better offense is going to – yeah, I mean, I think defenses matter. But in this particular game, I just think Phillip Rivers is just too good to get bounced in the first round. As tough of a matchup as it is, he's got too many weapons with Hunter Henry back. I think he's going to find a way to pick it apart.
Yeah, public seems to be on the Chargers, and the total's about split here, about 51-49. So it's gone down slightly, but, you know, that one's kind of up in the air. I think I'm with you, Chop. I think it's a game the Chargers can win. So even a little bit on the money line, maybe make a few extra dollars. All right, let's wrap this baby up. Eagles and Bears, the Sunday afternoon game. Bears sitting about -6. Total sitting at about 41. So we continue to drop here. Top the Eagles. Can they do it again? Can Nick Foles pull this off again? I mean, this is a tough spot going into Chicago. You know, Chicago, Baltimore, clearly the best two defenses on this slate. Foles a little banged up. What's it going to take for them to pull this miracle off again?
Well, I mean, it's basically a miracle that they're here in the first place. I mean, I definitely wrote them off for dead after they lost to the Cowboys, and then we looked at their schedule, and they had the Rams coming up. They were already behind the eight ball, and then Carson Wentz got hurt. I for sure thought that they were going to be there's no way they were making the playoffs, and here they are, man. So I can't count them out, that's for sure. But, yeah, I got to favor the Chicago here. I got to favor Chicago here at home with that defense. Man, I got to go with that side of it. But I can see them making this very, very difficult with Zach Ertz being the main catalyst on offense for these guys. They've got Darren Sproles back, and he seems healthy, and he's pretty much, based on game flow these past couple of weeks, he's been the guy who's gotten the most work in this backfield. I think he's a huge weapon in this game and one of the weapons that they can use against Chicago. So if you're looking for a real super sleeper that I don't think people will be on because, really, I mean, why would they? I think Darren Sproles could be that guy. Not super in love with the wide receivers here. I think Chicago does a pretty good job on them. I think it's a Zach Ertz and a Darren Sproles game. And on the flip side there, I actually like Chicago quite a bit. I like Trubisky. He's probably my favorite quarterback of the weekend. And I like him to Tariq Cohen. I think that's the weapon they're going to use. Robinson and Gabriel are fine. Not in love with Anthony Miller or Trey Burton, though.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cohen. I mean, Philadelphia, we know the secondary is bad, so it'd be easy to point to the receivers. But against running backs, second most receptions, sixth most receiving yards allowed. So a site like DraftKings, the full PPR, it's just a guy that can give you 30-point upside in the mid-range. There's not a lot of guys you can really say that about. So, Derek, wrap us up here for the analysis, Eagles and Bears.
Yeah, I agree with Chop. I think this is a game where the Bears defense plays really well, probably makes a couple big plays early, and they get out to a lead. And for that reason, I like some of the Philadelphia pass catchers. They're probably going to be playing from behind. And our boy Big Dig Nick leading up to the promised land. I agree. I like Sproles quite a bit out of the backfield. I think he's a sneaky play. Over the last 3 weeks with Nick Foles as the quarterback, Ertz has 27 targets, Alshon has 18, and Nelson Aguilar has 15. So I think all three of those are interesting. I'll probably be sprinkling them throughout my lineups. Then on the other side, I do agree on Trubisky. Does have upside at low ownership. He's kind of been quiet since returning from injury. But, yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how they attack this game. The last few weeks has been the Jordan Howard show. And I haven't been watching the Bears games much lately. Does he look spry, or has he just gotten sort of lucky?
No. He's the old deal, fall into the end zone, that we like to say. That's pretty much what he's doing. So it's tough to get excited about him. You mentioned Trubisky, though. We know it's a guy that plays better at home. I mean, DraftKings points 25 a game at home, 14 a game on the road. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, and then when it comes to the receivers, it sounds like all of them were going to be healthy. They were all kind of questionable heading into the week, but they all practiced fully on Wednesday, Robinson, Miller, and Taylor Gabriel. So looks like that'll be a full strength, which does bolster Trubisky's cause a little bit. And then Trey Burton's kind of a sneaky tight end option. I think it's a good week. If you could somehow fade the two big guys in Ertz and Ebron and they don't end up having a big game, then one of these really cheap tight ends is going to end up breaking the slate, I think.
Trey Burton narrative street, baby, going against his former team. He also got Alshon Jeffrey narrative back to Chicago. So if you want to mix in a little narrative there, there's two guys for you. So that'll wrap us up, but let's get a couple of bold calls, maybe your favorite off-the-radar play, something along those lines, your favorite bet. We got to give the peeps something here, wild card weekend. So how about your favorite off-the-radar play, Derek?
Off-the-radar play. I will go with Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup. Chop, did he steal your off-the-radar play?
No, he did not, but it's definitely not a bad play at all, though. He didn't steal mine. I mean, I guess what is off the radar is dependent on who you think is going to be popular or not. For me, I think my favorite off the radar guy is Taylor Gabriel.
Nice. I'm sticking with Hunter Henry. I don't know that people are going to be comfortable clicking that button. And I agree with you guys. It's going to be Ebron, Ertz. If those guys don't go off or even have a decent game and you hit a touchdown, one of these cheap guys, you're really going to put yourself in a good position. So I like Hunter Henry as long as he plays. So we'll keep our ear on that news. Favorite bet on the weekend? Got to pick one. You got eight possible bets here to make. What's your favorite bet of the weekend, Chop?
Houston at home. And I'm not a Houston fan. I'm not saying that because I'm a Houston fan, a Texans fan at least, but at home with, pretty decent offense and QT coming back, and the defense is healthy. I mean, this is as healthy as that defense has been at this time of the year in years. Clowney and Water both healthy. So I know their secondary has struggled, but being at home, first round of the playoffs, man, an exceptional quarterback. I just can't see how they get bounced. And basically – with this the spread being this tight, they'd have to get bounced to not cover the spread, and I don't think they get beat. So I think Houston covers the spread and wins this game.
Derek, favorite bet on Wild Card Weekend?
I'm going to go with Chicago -6. I just think at home with the better quarterback. I know Nick Foles has been good in this spot in the past, but he's either really good or really bad. And against the Chicago defense, they're number one against the pass, number two against the run. I just think they're going to have a really hard time getting things going. So,
all right, Chop, your turn. Hot take time here. Wild Card Weekend. Bring the fire. What do we got, Derek? Derek brought it there. What do we got here?
I'm going to say that the highest scoring game on this weekend by a wide margin is going to be the Chargers-Ravens game, even though it's the lowest total on the board. I think that Rivers brings his A game, and it makes Baltimore pick up the pace a little bit more in this game, and I think this one gets to be a borderline shootout.
There you go. I'm going to go against Derek here. I think the Bears-Eagles game is going to have a lot more points and more scoring than people realize. So I like the call on the Colts and Texans. I do think that one's going to have some fireworks. But I think the Bears and Eagles go over 55 points, so easily cruise by that over there. So that's my bold call. Any hot takes player-wise? I'm going to say Hunter Henry, 2 touchdowns. Beat that, Chop.
Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to say player-wise, PPR format on DraftKings, I'll say the Kiki QT is your – he outdoes DeAndre Hopkins this weekend, and he's a top three guy overall.
Whoa! All right.
You got to take a bulk. You got to take a stand somewhere, man.
I know that. I threw him
PPR now. PPR. I think we're looking at double-digit receptions.
Yeah, he tore up that team for last meeting. He went over – I think he had 11 catches in that game against Colts. So I like that call. Derek, can you get any hotter than that? Kiki Cutie outscoring DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, can't do any better than that. But I will say Darren Sproles leads the Eagles in receiving yards.
Boom. Nice. There you go. So a lineup with QT, Sproles, and Hunter Henry. That's going to get you any stud you want on this lineup. So the whole hot take lineup, I'm going to have to put that one.
And the funny thing is you really don't want very many studs. You really don't want the studs
outside of
maybe one of you guys.
Any tips for the guys out there and ladies, obviously, I know they're listening too. So any tips how to handle a 4-game slate? To me, it's always don't be afraid to leave salary on the table. I mean, you want to make yourself unique. Think differently. I think that's one way to do it. Most people are going to spend every single dollar or get as close as they can. So any tips here for a 4-game slate here in the playoffs, guys?
I mean, for me, just looking at this particular slate, I know it feels counterintuitive to have a bunch of guys from one team on your roster. But you feel like they're pulling away from each other. But on something this ugly where you've got all these low totals and 3 of these 4 games – whichever ones they are, could end up being total defensive battles, man, feel free to totally stack and feel comfortable stacking one game or one team that you feel good about. That could win you all the money.
There you go. Derek, any final thoughts and tips for the people?
When it comes to cash games, just play your optimal lineup. Let everyone else make their mistakes. No need to get really cute with your cash game lineup. And if you're playing cash, it's a great week for it. Post your head-to-heads out there. You'll get a lot of action. Good luck, this guy. Good luck this week.
Just stomach this week. We got brighter pastures ahead, greener pastures, I guess it is, brighter skies ahead, you know, with all them teams we mentioned, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams to come next week. So much higher totals, much more exciting games coming this week, next week, I should say. But good luck this weekend. Still plenty of big tournaments out there. Yahoo is running. They're not giving away money, but – no rake on that game. $500,000 tournament. They're not taking a dollar out of the prize pool. DraftKings, a nice $1.5 million covering the 4 games. And FanDuel, they've split things up. Their main slate is a Saturday only. So however you want to play this slate, there's plenty of ways to do it. Wouldn't go crazy. Save some of that bankroll for next week. All right, that'll wrap us up here for Wild Card Weekend, guys. We will be back for our final pod of the year next week to break down the divisional games. For my boys, Head Chopper, Notorious, I am here saying salut. Best of luck this weekend, guys. And we'll see you right back here with the DFS OGs on Roto-Grinders next week.